Good to see you here this morning. Sundays around Christmas are wonderful for many reasons, and one is because we get to see so many of you back home. If you're here again for Christmas, welcome back home. Good to see you. Good to see you if you are regular here and online as well. Thank you for joining us. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. We thank you, Lord, so much for your love for us and for Jesus Christ. And let's worship him this morning together. Would you please stand and sing your name with us? One, two, three, four. Father, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you so much for being with us, God with us. Oh, as we think about it, especially for those of us that have been saved for a longer period of time, we marvel that you would send your Son. No other God, which all are false, no other God would even think about doing that. Such an act of grace, such an act of love. We love you, and we thank you so much for that. Thank you for Christmas time, and thank you that we can worship together in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you stand again and let's praise the Lord in Christmas carols this morning. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. We are the ones who are joyful and triumphant.
Father, we have come this morning to worship you and to adore our Lord. We thank you for your love and sending your Son and how greatly it was manifested in the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you, Father, that we can come this morning with assurance that we can stand before a holy God with our sins forgiven because of that sacrifice and that shed blood of your own Son. We thank you, Father, for this Christmas season in which we, in a very special way, do remember the coming of our Savior. And certainly, Father, as we have celebrated that first coming, we look forward to the second coming of Christ. For he has promised that he would come again. He has promised that he'd receive us unto himself. I pray, Father, that as there were many in Israel who were expecting and living with anticipation of his first coming, may we likewise live with that expectation and anticipation for his second coming. I pray, Father, that that blessed hope would indeed have an impact in how we live our lives, that it would have an impact upon how we think, how we view this world, for we know that our Savior's coming, and he will indeed take us to be with himself, and he will then establish his own kingdom here on this earth, and we look forward, Father, to that time when we will reign with him as he establishes that kingdom upon the earth. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity this morning to come together. We thank you for the opportunity of fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with you and with your Son. Father, we recognize that perhaps there are some who at this time of year would struggle because perhaps this is the first Christmas without a loved one. Perhaps, Father, it's just at this time of year where some memories are brought up that are difficult. And we just pray that you would be with them in a very special way, that you would encourage them, that they'd be able to rise above those things and just look to you, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of all love. And we thank you, Father, for the truth that nothing can separate us from that love. We thank you, Father, for the truth that you only do that which is right and holy and just. And though perhaps from our limited perspective it looks different, we can trust in your eternal perspective. And we can trust in your sovereign control. And we can rest assured with peace and confidence in what you are doing. We thank you this morning, Father, that as we would conclude our service, that we can leave this place rejoicing, even as the shepherds were glorifying and praising God when they saw the Savior and as they made known abroad the things which they had seen and heard. May we do likewise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Rich or poor, they came from far and near. They all knew the reason he was here. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on the earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. He had the birthday, we got the gift. They wrapped him up with gentle hands. God hoped the world would understand. Eternal life you shall receive. All that he asked in return is that we just believe. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on the earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. He had the birthday, we got the. No way in this world we could repay the miracle he gave us on that day. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on the earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. Had the birthday, we got the gift on our Savior's birthday. We got the gift.
Free, 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 free We read in Acts chapter 19, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. These disciples were still living in the Old Testament. They were still anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And they were baptized into John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance with anticipation of the coming Messiah. And Paul straightened them out and said, "The Messiah has already come, and his name is Jesus." And they were then baptized in the name of Jesus. And they became disciples of Jesus Christ. We have three this morning who are disciples of Jesus Christ through their faith in him. They want to publicly make that known this morning in this believer's baptism in water. As they make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, as through faith they themselves have died to themselves and have been raised with a new life, the life of Christ, as they are baptized. And what's very special this morning is the three being baptized. We have a child. We have a young man. I was going to say an old man, but an older man, a mature man. And it's just a thrill to have these three follow in believers' baptism this morning.
My name is Justin Harrington, and I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Justin's been with us for a while, but it's a great pleasure to baptize him this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
My name is George Lasco, and I'd like to give thanks to God our Father, and especially to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
George has been attending here for a couple of years, but what a joy it is to be able to baptize him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Good morning. My name is Landon Shanks. I was saved 2 years ago in our own church building. I am saved because I believe that Jesus died for me. I want to be baptized to be obedient and to God and to show you, thank you, that I am a Christian. Thank you.
Landon, you better believe this will be one of the greatest joys of my life to be able to baptize my son. And you know that your family loves you, but you're looking at a church family out there that loves you very much as well. And may God bless you in your obedience. Landon, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
On that, let's stand and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. God to do something with all the problems in the world, guess what? He has. He gave us a Savior who can take away our sin and give us everlasting life. That's the peace God's looking for, and that's the peace God's offering. Let's thank God each day for the power of the cross. You may be seated.
Would you turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. What was it like this morning at your house, the day after Christmas? It can be still an exciting time. Probably the kids were playing with the box that the toy came in rather than the toy, but that's pretty common, but it's always an exciting time. And we're here this morning, this day after Christmas, and I want to look this morning at the responses to the birth of Christ. When Christ was born, what were the responses in the New Testament that read from individuals, the heroes, if you will, of the Christmas story? We want to look at their responses and recognize that those same responses are very prevalent today. We need to examine our own hearts. How are we responding to the birth of Christ? Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, this morning as we continue to worship you, as we come now to your word to study. I pray, Father, that we would glean the truths that you would have for us this morning so that it might impact our lives, that it might change us, as we would continue to meditate upon your love in sending your Son, Emmanuel,
God with us. The God-man coming to die for us and to be that mediator between God and man. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. When we think of the responses to the birth of Christ, perhaps the first ones we think of are the shepherds. And we read about that, of course, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel appears to the shepherds and announces good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. And that good tidings was the truth that a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. And as they made that announcement, it says it was good tidings. Euangelion is the Greek word there, and it's the word good tidings, good news. It's the word gospel. The angels were proclaiming the gospel to the shepherds, the gospel of Jesus Christ as he was born, and they announced this to the shepherds. We recognize that Jesus indeed was born in Bethlehem. The term Bethlehem means house of bread. How appropriate that the bread of life was born in the house of bread. But beyond that, and we read that the Messiah was going to come to Bethlehem in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but in chapter 4 of Micah, we read that the Messiah is going to come to Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. Migdal Eder was first mentioned in the Bible all the way back in Genesis with reference to Jacob when Rachel passed away, his wife. It was just outside of Bethlehem, in the fields outside of Bethlehem. It was the tower of the flock. It was where shepherds watched over their flock. Migdal Eder became the location where the lambs that would be offered at the temple in Jerusalem as sacrifices, that's where the lambs were born and raised. Migdal Eder. And so as the angels appeared to the shepherds and announced this birth, I believe the shepherds that they appeared to were these Levitical shepherds who were watching over the lambs that would eventually be offered as sacrifices in the temple in Migdal Eder. And when the angel said you'd find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, these shepherds understood that. Because that's what they did with the lambs that were born. They would wrap them in swaddling clothes because the lambs that were going to be offered as sacrifices could have no blemish and no spot. So they needed to make sure that this lamb did not injure themselves when they were first born. They'd wrap them in swaddling clothes. And so when the angel said, this baby's wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, they knew exactly where to go. It was their manger. It was their stable. It was Migdal Eder. And they understood this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's what they did to their lambs that would be offered as a sacrifice. So these shepherds knew exactly where to go. You know, you perhaps have heard where they looked down, people looked down on shepherds at this time, and they were kind of the low caste of society. That's really not true in Israel. Think about that for a moment. All of Israel's history, all of their heroes in their history were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they were all shepherds. Israel didn't look down upon shepherds, and especially these Levitical shepherds who were raising the lambs for sacrifice. That's, I believe, the shepherds that the angels appear to, these Levitical shepherds. And they understood what manger to go to. It was their manger at Migdal Eder. And they understood the significance of being wrapped in swaddling clothes because that's what they did to the sacrifices, the lambs that would be sacrificed. And indeed, it was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world that was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Notice the angels told them that they needed to go and check this out. In verse 15 it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us.'" Notice their faith. It does not say that the shepherds said, "Let's go and see if this that we've been told is true." It says, "Let's go and see what we have been told." They responded in faith to what the angels told them. They did not go to see if it was true. They went to see the truth, to find this baby wrapped in these swaddling clothes as the angels had told them. So the shepherds responded in faith to the glad tidings that was brought to them by the angels. They said, "Let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass." It was not if or maybe. Let's go see. And indeed, they did go and see, and they did find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the angels had said. And it says then in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They couldn't contain themselves. They couldn't keep it a secret. They had to go and tell everyone they knew about what they had seen and heard. And so they indeed respond by making known abroad the good news, the gospel. The good news that the angels gave to them, the gospel, they then repeated to others. And they made known this same good news, this same gospel to others, that the Messiah has come. The Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world has come. And then we read in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." It says they returned. You know, life had to go back to the same routine. There were still sheep that needed to be tended to. They couldn't live on this cloud nine forever as such. They had to go back to their life. But indeed, they did go back to their life changed men. They were now glorifying and praising God. They now had a new purpose in life. They now had a new goal in life as they were anticipating the return, or anticipating the coming of the Messiah. They now recognized that the Messiah had come, and it changed them, I'm sure, forever, as they were glorifying and praising God. And so the shepherds went on with their lives. That day after the first Christmas, they went on with their lives. They returned, and they had to tend to the sheep, but they were different. They were glorifying and praising God. They were changed. In the same context, we not only see the response of the shepherds who responded in faith and then shared the gospel with others, glorifying and praising God, but we also see the response of Mary in this passage. You know, the angel had appeared to Mary prior to becoming pregnant with Jesus, and the angel told Mary exactly what was going to happen, and she agreed to allow that to take place. And now it's all taking place, all of these events. And so we now see the response of Mary to the actual birth of Jesus. And notice what it says in verse 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She did two things. She kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. The word "kept" here is a word that means to guard, to protect, to keep safe. In fact, we could use the word to treasure. Now, if you have something that you treasure, you're going to keep it safe. In fact, you might put it in a safe. And that's the thought of this word. And in a sense, it's saying that Mary's heart became a safe. And she locked up the truth of what the angel had told her, and now what the shepherds were telling her, and all of the events that were taking place. She was keeping them, or treasuring those things in her heart. She made her heart kind of a safe and locked those truths in, and no one was going to steal those truths out of her heart. She treasured those truths in her heart. Now, as she treasured those truths, you know, there were some things that she knew for sure because the angel had told her. She had heard the words of the shepherds and those truths. She was locking them down in her heart to keep them safe. No one was going to steal them. And yet, there were still a lot of unanswered questions. And so she was pondering them in her heart as well. And so first she made sure that they were locked in, those truths that she knew and that she was told. She locked them in. She treasured them in her heart. They became precious to her. But then she pondered them in her heart. The word ponder here is actually a compound word in the original language. It's the word to throw, and it's the word with. Literally, it's simply to throw with. But it's the idea to, she was throwing these questions and so forth around in her mind. She was tossing them back and forth. She was tossing them with one another, if you will. Just these questions and you know, she knew some truth. The angels had told her some things, but how is it all going to fit together? How is it all going to work? When and what and why and how? All those questions, she was just throwing them around in her mind. Her head was swirling, if you will. Not that she was doubting any of the truth, just wondering, how is this all going to happen? This little baby is the Messiah? How's he going to save Israel? All of these questions. You know, we have that song that is often sung at Christmas time, Mary, Did You Know? Raises a lot of questions in that song. You know, it starts out, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughter? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered would soon deliver you? Are they some of the questions that were being tossed around in Mary's mind? Now, some of those questions she knew answers to. She didn't know specifically, necessarily, that he was going to walk on water. But she did know that he would be saving our sons and daughters. She knew that this baby was the Messiah. The Old Testament had promised that the Messiah would come and indeed save them. It says here, that, did you know that this child you've delivered would soon deliver you? Yes, she did know that. She didn't know all the hows and whys and whats, but she did know that, yes, the Messiah had come to deliver his people Israel. She knew that this was the Messiah. She didn't have all the answers, but she did know some things. She goes on and says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Well, yes, the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would indeed give sight to the blind. Did you know that your baby boy has walked with where angels trod? Yes, she knew that this was God the Son. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He was the eternal God. She knew that. She didn't understand it all necessarily, but she did know. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. That had to blow her mind, I'm sure, as she was tossing those things around. But the Old Testament taught that the Messiah was indeed God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Yes. It was promised that the Messiah would come and the government would be upon his shoulder. And he would indeed establish his reign. The angel, when the angel appeared to Mary at first, the angel told her that he would indeed sit upon the throne of his father David and rule the nations. Yes, she knew that. The hows, the whys, the whens, that was confusing. But she knew that truth, and those truths she was locking down in her heart. Finally, it asked the question, Mary, did you know that this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? Jehovah. And yes, she maybe didn't fully understand it. But the angel, when he appeared to Joseph, said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, meaning Jehovah, saves. Name him Jehovah saves, and this baby will save his people. He's Jehovah. They knew that. They didn't understand it all, but she was pondering these things in her heart. And indeed, our response to the birth of Christ, we need to lock down the truths that we know. And there are plenty of truths in God's Word that we can lock down and treasure in our heart, and they become precious to us. But there's a lot we don't know. And we can ask our questions and we can toss them around in our mind and we can study God's Word and we continue to meditate upon God's Word and we begin to grow in our understanding. Mary didn't know everything, but she was pondering them in her heart, meditating upon them. 40 days later, when she and Joseph took Jesus to the temple, it says that Simeon came and picked up the child and he had a few words to say, and it says that both Joseph and Mary marveled at what Simeon said. Word marvel there. They wondered at what he was saying. They were amazed at what he was saying. They continued to grow in truth and in their knowledge of that truth. And throughout his growing years, when he was 12 years old, it says when they went to the temple and he was lost for a couple of days and they found him in the temple, it says again that they were amazed. They just continued to grow in their knowledge. That was their response to the birth of Christ. And so 40 days later, after hearing more truth, she marveled and wondered in amazement at what was taking place. She locked down the truth. And then she continued to wonder and meditate, and she grew in her knowledge of the truth. Speaking of Simeon, we have the responses of both Simeon and Anna. 40 days after Jesus was born, as Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple, Simeon sees Jesus, and he lifts up the child, and he praises God and glorifies God, and he acknowledges that this baby is the one who would come to save Israel. He'd be the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. As he praised God, but he likewise responded in faith, as the shepherds had responded. He responded in faith, and he likewise publicly declared that this was the Messiah who had come to save. So, as they brought him to the temple, Simeon and Anna both saw him, and Simeon responded by blessing God and in faith declaring Jesus as the Messiah who would bring salvation. We see that in chapter 2 of Luke. Over in verse 28, Simeon then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel." You know, I see that one verse where it says he picked up the baby and he said, "Okay, Lord, you can now let me die." You think about that for a moment. Simeon had lived his life with the expectation that the Messiah was coming. He lived his life anticipating that coming of the Messiah, and now the Messiah has come. And I just think Simeon, he's overwhelmed, and he just says, "You know what, God? This is the best day of my life. It's all downhill from here. You might as well just take me." It can't get any better than this. I've lived my whole life for this moment, and now everything beyond this is downhill. Just take my life. He was just so overwhelmed with the fulfillment of the promise that the Messiah had come, and he declares that fulfillment to those who would listen. Anna, likewise, down in verses 36 through 38, she responds likewise in faith, acknowledging that Jesus as the Messiah had come, and she was giving thanks, openly declaring Jesus as the one who would bring redemption. Again, responding in faith and then telling others about the truth that she knew. That was Simeon, that was Anna, it was the shepherds as well. And then, of course, we can't forget about the wise men, can we? The response of the wise men, the magi from the east. It says that they were in the east and they saw his star, the star of the Messiah. Some have tried to say, well, that was just the planets lined up just right to make a bright star. I don't think it had anything to do with the planets lining up just right. In fact, it says later on that the star did reappear and led them from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem, and then the star stood over the place where Jesus was. That's not the activity of a normal star. That's not the activity of planets lining up just right. The star actually led them down to Bethlehem and stood over the place where Jesus was. That was a special star. In fact, I believe it was the glory of God himself. In fact, fact, I'll be a little more specific, and this, I can't prove this, okay? So this is just, this is free of charge, my thoughts. I think the star that the wise men saw was the glory that shone round about the shepherds the night that Jesus was born, or that morning that Jesus was born. In other words, as the shepherds were there in Bethlehem, the angel appears and it says, the glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds. And at that moment, I believe that glory shining around the shepherds, hundreds of miles to the east, the wise men saw that glory shining. And they knew that it was the coming of the Messiah. That's my theory on it anyway, that it was the glory of God that these wise men, these magi saw. They were hundreds of miles to the east, but they saw that. And they had the writings of Daniel. In fact, Daniel was one of these magi hundreds of years earlier, but they would have had the writings of Daniel, so they would have known about this Jewish Messiah. They had the writings of many of the Old Testament books, and so they would have known about this king of Israel that was to come. And even in Daniel's prophecy, there was some indication as to when he would come, so they would have been anticipating that. In fact, it's possible. It's possible. Again, I'm not going to be able to prove this. It's possible that these magi were actually Jewish men. Daniel was a Jewish man who was a magi. In fact, it says in Daniel chapter 2 that Daniel was put over all of the magi there in Babylon. Again, it was hundreds of years earlier. But Daniel was a Jewish magi. And some of these magi could have been Jewish as well as they anticipated the coming of their Messiah. But they saw this star. I believe the glory of God. And immediately they begin to make some plans. They needed to go and worship this king. And so these wise men, living hundreds of miles away to the east, they saw this star and immediately made plans to go and worship the king of the Jews. You know, these magi would have been well up in government, men of prestige, men of high position, men of great wealth. As they begin to make these plans to make this trip, and it would have been, depending on how they traveled, whether they followed the Fertile Crescent or went straight through the desert, it could have been 600 to 1,000 miles that they made this trip. So they had to make some plans. They weren't going to do that in just a day or two. They probably had to first get permission from the government to make the trip. They had to make sure that all of their responsibilities were covered while they were gone for a lengthy time. They had to make all the preparations and all the provisions gotten. They had to get around and get ready to go. It would have taken them a while. And the trip itself would have taken a while. In fact, we find later on that perhaps it was as much as a year or two before they arrived. But the point is this. They were willing to sacrifice their position, their prestige, their comforts, their wealth to go and worship the King of the Jews. They were willing to make that sacrifice. That was their response as they make this trip. They counted the cost. And they were willing to sacrifice their comfort, their position, their wealth to go and worship the king. You know, when they did arrive, it's in Matthew chapter 2. When they did arrive, they went to Jerusalem first because that's the capital of Israel. You would expect the king to be born in Jerusalem. And they appear before Herod, and they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Interesting statement. Born king. Babies aren't born king. They're born a prince, and then in time, they ascend to the throne and become the king, but you're not born a king. You're born maybe in line to be king, but you're not born a king. But Jesus was born a king. He was king when he was born. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. Yes, he did not establish his kingdom at that time as such. And that's coming yet in the future when the government will be upon his shoulders as prophesied in Isaiah 9. But he was king when he was born. And so the Magi understood that. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? You're familiar with this story of the wise men as they do arrive. They arrive at the house where he was. This was, like we said, maybe a year or two later before they actually got there. But they indeed worship him. They sought him. They worshiped him. And then it says the angel appeared and said, "Don't go back to Herod. He has murderous plans in mind." And so they did not go back to Herod. They went back home. So they obeyed the angel as the angel told them to go and not return back to Herod. So they sought him out, they worshiped him, and they obeyed him. That was the response of the wise men. And I need to emphasize, they worshiped the baby. They did not worship Mary. They did not worship Joseph. They worshiped the baby, the King of the Jews. Of course, it's in that story that we also see the response of Herod, don't we? When they came and they said to Herod, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Herod got all kinds of excited, not in a good way. It says he was troubled. Herod, and I know many of you are aware of this, but Herod was, he was a very paranoid king to begin with. Herod had already killed 3 of his own sons because he thought they were conspiring against him to take the throne from him. He murdered one of his wives because the same thing, he thought she was conspiring against him to take the throne from him. And so when these magi show up from the east, and understand that at this time, one of Rome's, and Herod was ruling for Rome in Israel, but one of their main enemies was from the east. And now these magi are coming from the east and they're talking about a king. Paranoid Herod, he got pretty troubled by that. And so he brings the religious leaders together and says, "Where is this King of the Jews to be born?" And they go back to Micah chapter 5. He's to be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod tells the Magi, "He's in Bethlehem. And when you find him, come back so that I might go and worship him as well." Of course, we know that that was not his intent at all. And when he found out that the Magi did not return to him and did not obey him, he, of course, commanded that all the children 2 years and under in Bethlehem be killed. That's why we say it could have been as much as a year or two later, because Herod's command was to kill all those 2 years and under. His response, of course, was great hostility. He responded with murderous hatred. You know, there are still those today who respond with that same hatred. There are still those today who respond with hostility toward the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God himself became a man to die for man. There's much hostility toward that gospel today, just as there was when Jesus was born. Herod is that example of murderous hatred. What about just the average person, the masses? What was their response? And we'll throw in the religious leaders here as well. Herod goes to the religious leaders and says, where was this King of the Jews to be born? And they went back to Micah 5 and said, "Oh, he's to be born in Bethlehem." Now these religious leaders, they would have known about these magi, and they would have known about their story, how they had seen this star, and they believed that the Messiah had come, this King of the Jews was born. They would have heard the story of the wise men. You would have thought that these religious leaders would have been at least curious enough to go check the story out. These wise men had just traveled 600 to 1,000 miles to worship the King of the Jews. These religious leaders wouldn't go 5 miles to Bethlehem to just check out the story. Maybe they didn't believe it, but you'd at least thought some of them would have been curious enough to at least check it out. But no, their response was total apathy. They didn't care. They weren't going to make even a 5-mile trip to see what was true. They were just filled with apathy. They didn't care. And that would be the masses as well. Word got around. They didn't care. Some of these religious leaders, they certainly weren't about to make the sacrifice like the Magi had made of their position. They weren't going to sacrifice their wealth. They were in high position. They really didn't want a king of the Jews. And so they responded with apathy. They just ignored it. They did nothing about it whatsoever. Again, the Magi had traveled hundreds of miles to worship the king of the Jews, but the Jews of Jerusalem would not even travel 5 miles to Bethlehem to check out the story. The only question left for us this morning as we look at these responses, and that question is simply, what is your response? This day after Christmas, we've just celebrated the birth of Christ. We've just celebrated God sending His Son to be our Savior. We've heard the good news, the gospel. How do we respond to it? Will we be like the shepherds who, in faith, responded, and then they went and told others of the gospel as they glorified and praised God? Would we be like Mary who would treasure these truths, and they'd become precious truths in our heart? We'd lock them down. No one, Satan, the flesh, the world, they're not going to steal those truths from us. We're going to still ask our questions. We don't know it all as we would ponder and meditate upon God's word, but we're going to grow in that knowledge. We're going to grow in our understanding. Are we going to be like Simeon and Anna, who likewise in faith responded to the coming of the Messiah, and they too publicly declared their faith in this Redeemer? Will we be like the wise men, willing to make the sacrifices necessary to worship our Lord and to obey Him? Or will we respond with some hostility? We don't even want to hear the gospel. We want no part of it. Will we respond in apathy? Will we walk out of here this morning and say, oh, that was nice, and forget all about it? Really don't care, except that it's a great day to celebrate. But as far as the truths, it really doesn't matter. Really doesn't impact us. Really doesn't change our lives at all. Really doesn't have anything to do with how I live my everyday life. The shepherds went back to their everyday life, but they were changed. No doubt the wise men returned back to their everyday life, but they were changed. Does the gospel really make a difference in your life as you leave this morning and as you go back after Christmas to your everyday life? Are you impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you impacted that God became a man to die for you? Let's bow in prayer. Father, it is with great joy that we remember the sending of your Son. May we indeed respond in faith. May we respond, Father, in a determination to tell others this good news of the Savior. May we be willing to sacrifice our comforts and any position that we may have, any wealth that we may have, just to serve and worship you. Pray, Father, that as you have been faithful, we likewise would be faithful. And if there's any here this morning, Father, either online or here in person, that just really don't care, you're really quite apathetic to it all, maybe even hostile, I pray that they would meditate upon the truths of your word, that they would recognize that apart from this gospel, there is no hope. May we lock down in our heart these truths and continue to meditate upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. If you'd like to talk to us, please seek us out. We'd love to talk to you and just share more from God's Word. Shall we stand? Father, it's been good to be together this morning to worship you. It's been good to be together, and we pray that our continuing fellowship would be honoring to you. We do thank you, Father, that we are able to worship together this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you, and Merry Christmas.